The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
It started as a whisper until you screamed it at the top of your lungs. We gained momentum. You made us unstoppable. We had a vision for change. You made it a revolution. We told you we are the future, until you told us the future is now.
We are NXT!
Hello, and welcome to the NXT cast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my co-host, Miss Simi. How are you, Miss Simi?
Doing good.
Glad that you could join us for another week, a very important week. It's SummerSlam week, which means it's also TakeOver week. So,
yay!
Culmination of all the television we've been watching for the last month and a half is going to come to a head this Saturday night. Starting
in the Thunderdome.
No, they're not getting a chance to be in the Thunderdome. They're going to be in the Performance Center. Saturday night, 7 p.m., use the hashtag CastTakeover to share your commentary with color. And this evening, we are joined by Mr. NXT himself, Mr. Samuel Kalunga. How you doing, Samuel?
It's more like Mr. Nothing Else to Watch on Wednesday because I refuse to watch AEW.
Wow.
What you got against Cody and them?
I had to pick the lesser of two evils.
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got a Young Bucks bias. It's not necessarily Cody.
No. I like Cody. It's all this other goofy tomfoolery that they do.
So Orange Cassidy is not your jam.
I was a big fan of Orange Cassidy on the indies. As soon as he got this character, I was like, what is...
What's wrong with the Young Bucks? You're not a flippy shit fan?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of gymnasts.
Oh.
No, it's just like the attitude and it's just them as a whole, just how they are. Plus like their style. They're amazing athletes, I'll say that, but I'm just not a fan of how they do their thing.
Oh, that's okay.
Before we get into the who you got portion of the show, just catch us up with what you've been doing, man, since the last time we got a chance to talk to you.
Absolutely nothing. I've just been like working and trying not to catch the catch that thing, you know.
Yeah, man. I totally understand. Totally understand. I guess that's kind of everybody's. That's kind of everybody's MO right now. Just collect a check and go home, and you know, stay safe.
Yeah, trying to avoid the certain public crisis going on. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The NXT cast is part of the WrestleCast, which can be found on CSPN.us. You can also find NXT cast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, all the usual suspects when it comes to your podcast. All you have to do is subscribe to the WrestleCast-CSPN, and you'll be getting the NXT cast each and every week in your feeds. So like I said, it's a takeover weekend, so we're going to play Who You Got for NXT TakeOver 30. It was announced that the pre-show match is going to be Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wilde of Legado del Fantasma, Breezango versus Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. Is going to be a three-way.
Ooh.
And the winner is going to be granted a tag team title match.
Ooh, that could be fun.
So we're going to start with our guest this week, Mr. Samuel Kalunga. Who you got?
Alrighty, what's the first match we're doing here?
The
pre-show match. Pre-show
match, yes, sir.
Sorry, I was looking at my phone. Legado del Fantasma against who?
Breezango and Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch.
I have to go with the Legado del Fantasma.
Okay, all right. Miss Simi, who you got?
Samesies. I'm going with El Legado because they've been kind of on the high and they're trying to build them up. So I love my Breezango, but I'm going to go with El Legado.
All right. I'm going to agree with the both of you as well. I think they're really trying to make that faction real, real strong. And, yeah, those boys getting a chance at the tag team titles definitely will do that. So we're all in agreements there. Next up, Adam Cole, baby. He's going to face off against former NFL punter Pat McAfee. Miss Simi, who you got?
I'm going to go with my man, Adam Cole, baby, HBK Jr. That's who I got.
Sam, who you got?
I'd have more faith in the NFL guy if it was AJ Hawk in there, not Pat McAfee. Okay. But so I'm going to go with Adam Cole squashing him in 2 minutes.
Okay.
Is McAfee not a good player?
He was just a punk.
No, AJ Hawk is a beast. Like, he's a big – look at AJ Hawk. Look at how big he is. That guy will kill you.
Yeah. I don't know sports, but let me Google what he looks like.
he was one of his entourage.
Was he the black one?
No, he was the white guy with the kind of shaved side haircut.
Oh, the big – okay, yeah. I see.
Did anyone ever identify the black dude?
Yeah, that's Darius Butler.
Because they were like, oh, look, it's so-and-so, and it's AJ Hawk, and they never mentioned the other guy.
Yeah, Darius Butler.
Yeah. I was just like, oh, goon. Oh, yeah, this dude big. Ooh, he'll beat the shit out of Adam Cole. Oh, baby. Yeah. Right. Glad it's the other one.
I'm going to agree with y'all again. This is not usually how I play this game, but yes, I have to agree again that Adam Cole, baby, is going to be successful over Pat McAfee. For the NXT Women's Championship, Io Shirai is going to defend the title against Miss Dakota Kai. Samuel Kalunga, who you got?
Well, I haven't heard anything about Io going up, and I think it's kind of too soon for Dakota to be getting the title, so I'm going to go with Io.
All right. One vote for EO. Miss Simi, who you got?
Ah! This is hard. I love both of them. This is not how this game works. I'm going to go with EO.
All right. Well, I'm going to do my normal thing when I do when I play this game because I'm just not going to stay chalk with y'all. I'm going to go with Dakota Kai. A little bit of shenanigans, she's going to come out victorious on Saturday.
What are they calling her? Heartbreak kick? You got Big Mommy Cool and Heartbreak Kick.
That's pretty good.
Yes. Feel that. And then give Samuel royalties.
For the NXT, the vacant NXT North American Championship, we're going to have a 5-way ladder match. Bronson Reed, Damian Priest, Johnny Gargano, Cameron Grimes, and Velveteen Dream are all going to face off against each other in a ladder match. So, Miss Simi, who you got?
I got my pickups, Bronson Reed.
Oh.
Who I got?
All right.
Easy. If it was Finn Balor in there, it would be different. Yes. But I got my boy.
All right, Sam, who you got?
See, I was originally going to go with Bronson Reed, but then I was like, you know what? I gotta keep it 100. I got to go with my boy Cameron Grimes.
I love Cameron Grimes.
It's weird. He was like a former like PWG guy. He was Trevor Lee. It's so weird seeing him in this environment.
I'm going to agree with Samuel Kalunga, and I'm going to go with our guy Cameron Grimes as well. He's
a North Carolina boy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's from Burlington. Yeah. So I definitely think that a lot of people in the last month and a half have really gotten on board with Cameron Grimes. I mean, we were ahead of the curve here on this show, but now people are really starting to get into him. For the NXT Cruiserweight Championship, Santos Escobar is going to defend against Isaiah Swerve Scott. So, Sam, who you got?
Well, this match is actually happening.
It was on the list of matches that I got. Now, I don't know if they're
going to they might have added it later because it wasn't on the original list, I don't think.
Right.
Got to go with Escobar.
Okay. Miss Simi?
I'm going with Escobar.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Escobar as well. I mean, they don't have these guys dress up as suits and present them the way they do for him to be a, right. a flash in the pan champion.
Exactly. You know,
it took me a minute to realize that this is Shane Strickland.
Oh, yeah, really?
It took me a second, but I was like, oh, look, it's Killshot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Killshot's, in my opinion, Killshot's a lot better than Swerve, but that's here and there.
Well, he was yeah. Swerve in MLW.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the main event of the evening for the NXT Championship, our champion, Keith Lee, is going to defend against Karrion Kross. Sam, who you got?
I got to go with Kross.
Oh, with the upset. Miss right? Sammy, who you got?
Even though he doesn't know how to wear a belt, Keith Lee, I'm going with you.
I'm going to go.
Don, have you been an influence on her regarding belts?
Definitely.
No, I hate it. Don't carry it like it's a carry-on bag. Wear it or drape it over your shoulder. It bothers me.
Who was it? Wasn't it like Eminem, the tag team that used to like keep it on their crotch?
Mm-hmm. Ew.
Yep.
Yeah.
What is that? That's yeah. not where that goes. Disrespectful.
I'm going to go with the champion Keith Lee defending the NXT title here. I don't know how, but yeah, I think Keith Lee's gonna pull this off. So there we go.
I think Keith Lee's moving up.
That yep. would probably be the worst thing to ever happen to him.
Oh yeah,
maybe. I mean, I don't know.
Have you seen how Vince treats NXT Star Wars prodigies and our faves?
Yeah, I mean, it's what I've been telling you since the beginning. Like that's how they do. Like they did it at OVW. All I know is that now that they've purchased Evolve, Catchpoint is canon.
Oh, really?
You know, the faction?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak have been trying to get, now that they got Matt Riddle up there with them, they've been trying to reform it, but I don't think Bruce Pritchard is
although that's not, no, if you show him like one of those tapes, he'd be like, get this out of here. So and you got the Leon Ruff. No, Leon Ruff wasn't in Catchpoint. Some of these other dudes, some of these guys that are in NXT now, they were in Catchpoint as well. I think, wasn't, what's his face? What's his name? His manager. I forgot. The little black manager. I keep forgetting his name because he keeps changing it.
Oh, you're talking about Stokely Hathaway?
Malcolm Bivens?
Yeah, Stokely Hathaway.
Wasn't he the manager of Catchpoint?
I don't remember.
It's been so long ago since I watched Evolve.
Right. But now they've got all those old Evolves on the...
I remember he was the manager of... he used to be Timothy Thatcher's manager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that is all of our choices for TakeOver this Saturday night. Again, use the hashtag #CastTakeOver to share your commentary with Color starting at 7 p.m. We'll all be there, so you be there too as well. Now we're going to get into this week's episode of NXT. Starts off with Johnny Gargano versus Ridge Holland in one of two NXT North American Championship qualifying matches. Johnny gets dropped on his head on a power slam attempt that looks like he should have broken his neck or at the very least had a concussion.
Mm-hmm. How did he not die? How did this not kill him?
Right. I was just like, concussion. Oh, my God.
That's why you do all those neck exercises, man.
Right.
In the gym.
I guess.
But we heard about this if you're into wrestling podcasts and stuff last week. This was all over a bunch of the wrestling podcasts. There's people who said that there is a frightening incident at the NXT taping, and this was it. Johnny Gargano literally got dropped on the top of his head on his power slam.
Yeah, it stopped the match and then like restarted it. But the way it came across on TV, it was seamless.
Right.
Yeah.
It was like, you didn't notice.
Right, right. Very good editing job. But as soon as Johnny hit the mat, Ridge Holland was like, oh God, I just killed him. but a better
go back and look at it and look at Candace's reaction.
Oh yeah, yeah. a battered Johnny Gargano uses help from the aforementioned Candice LeRae holding Ridge's leg. Then he hits a super kick and the one final beat DDT to advance to the NXT North American Championship match that's going to be taking place at TakeOver. How do y'all feel about Ridge Holland after getting 2 weeks of looking at him in ring?
Yeah, I guess.
That dude is a monster, but he needs some work, though.
Yeah. He needs just more ring time, but yeah, he's definitely got the size and the look. If he can talk a little bit, yeah, his future's gonna be.
Yeah, when he was in that three way, that qualifying three way, I was like, man, this dude's a beast.
Mm-hmm. Dakota Kai,
yay!
She's taking on Jessi Kamea. Kamea uses Jessi Kamea uses her long legs to hit a big kick and a corner avalanche. Dakota weathers the storm and gets the win with the go to kick.
Which is looking better and better.
Yeah. Didn't Jessi Kamea's old gimmick used to be she used to botch?
No.
I heard the Up Next guys were talking about that.
Yeah. She was basically Lacey Evans.
Oh God.
But you know.
No, I was gonna say Jessi Kamea was the woman who was terrorized by Retribution on that SmackDown.
Oh, that was her?
Oh
yeah, that was her.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was Xia Li at first, but I went back and reviewed the tapes. It was Jessi.
So you mean she got terrorized by Chelsea Green and Vanessa Bourne?
and who was the other one? Santana Garrett.
Oh, that was
like if you look at them, one of them has red hair and it's Santana Garrett.
Okay, I like.
Because I swear I recognize like Tyler Breeze's voice. I'm like, TB, I think that's you.
Well, like, none of these people are actually going to be in the final product.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
They're just stand-ins.
Yeah, I heard it was like supposed to be like Dijakovic, Tommaso Ciampa, Vanessa Bourne, Chelsea Green. Are like the main people they kind of have earmarked for it. They could change that at any time. You know how?
Yeah, you weren't watching Impact at the time when they had Aces and Eights. Remember? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember.
I remember the action.
Yeah, the original leader, like the guy who was like their main dude or whatever. Like some people would take his voice and like put it through the audio machine or whatever, and it was Eric Bischoff. It was Eric Bischoff cutting all the promos, but then it ended up being Bully Ray.
Okay. A little swerve action there.
That's because he was just a placeholder.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So after the match, Dakota Kai cuts a post-match promo that everything Io Shirai said last week proved that she's in her head. Io is focused on the people in Dakota's past, while Dakota says she's focused on the future as the new NXT Women's Champion. As she says, she's going to kick Io in the face over and over. The champion, Io Shirai, runs out. Dakota Kai doesn't run, but misses her kick attempt, and Io starts to beat her up and sends her up the ramp. Io follows and continues the assault until Raquel Gonzalez comes from out of nowhere, hits Io with the biggest of big boots. Oof. Raquel then carries the champion up the steps and then does the corkscrew power slam or something to her. Mm-hmm. And then Io tries to get it going again, but she gets taken down by Raquel, who sends her through the mat with a choke slam.
So I mentioned this on Twitter, but it's obvious that Raquel Gonzalez is a huge Diesel fan, because Diesel did this exact same thing to Razor Ramon.
'93.
Yeah, because like there was this thing where like it was even the same gimmick. Like HBK was gonna go at it alone, you know, by himself, and then he got into it with Razor, and then Razor chased him up the ramp. Sean falls down, and he's like, "Oh no, please, no, don't hurt me! Oh no, Razor, or whatever." And then they get close to the curtain. As soon as they get to the curtain, a hand just comes out and just drops Razor, and then it's Diesel.
Oh.
So like almost the exact same thing happened here.
Oh,
what's,
I didn't see it.
What's old is new again.
So. Right.
Yeah, it was on an old Raw from like '93.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, you know. Yeah, it's new.
I was so excited.
Oh yeah, we've been talking about where's Raquel been, and we haven't seen her on TV, but it was all, you know, a long game.
It was all part of the plan.
Right.
Yay.
Right.
We stand a calculated queen.
I am very excited for Dakota Kai. I think that she has finally found her legs as a heel. And she's getting a chance to cut these promos and stand outside of everybody else in NXT right now. So I really hope that she does, even if it's not this week, and get a chance to be the NXT champion for a little while.
Yeah, I love it. And I love her accent, so that makes it better.
Miss Simi's favorite, Tegan Nox, is interviewed about what Candice LeRae had to say about her. It took her by surprise, since they've been friends for a long, long time. Since she's the one who apparently causes the rifts in her friendship, she wants to talk it over a glass of wine and try to fix it.
I don't know why you were surprised. You were in a segment that made fun of her. Why are you surprised, Tegan? See? This is why. There's something in there.
Tegan Nox does have issues keeping her friends her friends, right?
See? If you always the one, this you. You're the common denominator, Tegan. That light don't go all the way up.
Finn Balor fault. Vignette runs. He says he's earned his spot here, while Velveteen Dream keeps getting opportunities handed to him. He said, this ends tonight the way it always does, with Finn over.
Oh.
I love those Finn Balor vignette promos.
So do I, but they keep scrolling the man's over. What the hell, man?
He be talking.
Did you see the one from last week where he's like, he didn't get it between the ages of 18 to 49, and even if you're in the rest of them or something like that. That was a nice, funny bit.
Direct shot at the competition.
Like, he's always so good at talking shit, and then they don't deliver. It makes me angry. But we'll talk about it.
Breezango and Isaiah Swerve Scott, they're teaming up to take on El Legado del Fantasma. Swerve catches Escobar with the JML driver, but he's not the legal man. The camera missed when he got knocked into Tyler Breeze, and Tyler Breeze tagged him in himself. In the pin fails because Swerve wasn't legal, so Wild and Mendoza worked tandem offense to take out Swerve. Breeze then takes care of them, but then gets a neck snap and then gets caught with the Phantom Driver as Santos Escobar gets the pin and the win for Legado del Fantasma.
This was a dope match. I think this was probably my favorite match of the night. It was so good. I love how Breezango, they were like, we're not bullshitting around today. We're not coming in costume. We're just here to fight. And they like brawled for like a good like 2 minutes. I was like, thank you for that. Appreciated it. And then like, I really love the twist at the end where it's like, when the ref was like, he's not the legal man, I was like, what the fuck you mean he's not the legal man? Ain't nobody had a tag. And then they rewinded it. I was like, ooh, what a twist. So I really like that. I want to see another like fight with these six specifically.
It was
a really great match.
It was a good way to give Swerve that visual pin on Escobar, so he can, you know, say that he's the only man that's actually pinned him twice.
Yeah.
And nobody else can claim that. So, yeah, that was a very, very good piece of business they did there. They show Pat McAfee pulling up with some former teammates. Then we get the announcement about the three-way tag team match for the shot at the tag team titles. So then the Undisputed Era, they come out. Adam Cole and Pat McAfee, they have a face-off. Pat McAfee says he's brought 28 years of pro football experience with him. When Pat says Adam Cole can't handle a one-on-one, Cole asks the Undisputed Era to leave the ring. So Pat's guys get out of the ring too, but everybody in the entourages remain at ringside. Pat runs down Adam Cole for complaining, saying Pat wasn't special and being knocked out 2 weeks ago. He said Adam Cole was untouchable for over 400 days, but it only took him a minute to knock his ass out. Pat says he's made over $1 million in seven professions, and if he sticks with wrestling, it'll be eight. He's sure Adam Cole would throw a temper tantrum after losing. Pat says Cole is great in the ring, but Pat will win because he's above him as a human. He promises to punt him on Saturday, and then my notes say he drops the mic, but he actually throws the mic at Adam.
Yeah, he did.
Adam Cole walks forward to talk to Pat McAfee when a bunch of officials step in between them. Adam Cole takes out all of those guys with various kicks and knees, and Pat McAfee has that look on his face like, oh, it's just got real. Adam Cole dares Pat to let his boys in the ring, but they don't get in the ring. Adam Cole gets in Pat's face and says that this Saturday at TakeOver, he's going to make Pat McAfee his bitch.
Woo! A fight.
Poor Colby Carino was one of the ones that got dropped.
Oh, yeah. Aww.
Yeah. It was funny.
Aww. Oh, man. I don't know if Pat McAfee came up with that promo on his own or if he had fire. A little help, but yeah, it was so fire. What he called us the ignorant wrestling community.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he came out here with the chopper loaded, letting it spray. Yeah.
I was like, ooh, you're getting spicy. I love it.
Extra spicy. Yeah, that was one of the
Don't set something on fire outside my house. What are you doing? Guys. You can't have a bonfire. It's the building. Turn that shit off. Don't come close to me. The fuck? What are you doing? You can't barbecue here. Okay, I'm sorry. The fuck? All I saw was fire. I'm like, bitch. All right, that's it. I'm done. Never mind. No, let's go. Let's continue.
That was a really good. That's one of the better promos from a non-wrestler I think I've seen ever.
I loved everything about that. Like, the way freaking Adam Cole just, like, perched up in the corner with, like, his legs crossed. I was like, this is hilarious. And then freaking Pat McAfee just, like, throwing that mic in the bump it made. Ooh, I loved everything about this. I'm so excited for this match just from this, like, shit-talking alone. Because shit-talking will get me into a match.
My first thought when he told him that he was going to make him his bitch at TakeOver was, wonder how Britt Baker feels about that.
Oh, no. Why?
But that was just me.
You're a mess.
Now we have Aaliyah and Mercedes Martinez of the Robert Stone brand taking on Rhea Ripley and Shotzi Blackheart.
And I'm impressed at the in-ring capabilities of Aaliyah. Certainly improving since hooking up with Mercedes Martinez. Let's go,
Aaliyah, out of this ring. You got to give credit to Robert Stone, don't you, Beth? Because
do I have to?
As well.
Do I have to? Oh, gosh. It pains me, Vic.
Rhea Ripley, desperate to get back into the match. Martinez drags Blackheart to her corner. Martinez has been around the block in the sport and now looking to just restrict the breathing of Blackheart. But Beth, Mercedes Martinez, you know, we talk about Shayna Baszler and being the only two-time NXT Women's Champion along with Charlotte Flair, but Mercedes Martinez very much is cut from the same cloth as a Baszler.
Once again, Martinez just adapted so many styles of combat, striking, grappling, that veteran experience. She's been in just about every kind of matchup you could dream up.
And Aaliyah's aggression has grown exponentially as Mercedes Martinez and Aaliyah really coalescing as a tandem pick.
Well, they certainly are. Martinez into the cover.
Into the electric chair.
Aaliyah's in a bad spot.
And the face buster. Ripley rolls Aaliyah over cover. And Mercedes Martinez keeping her partner from being pinned. Oh.
And Robert Stone has to be sweating bullets on the outside.
Ripley now has Aaliyah in her corner. Tag is made.
Well, Martinez has been isolated. Aaliyah's all by herself.
And Rhea Ripley. The riptide by Ripley. And Blackheart now going all the way to the top. Meanwhile, on the outside, Mercedes Martinez.
Wait a minute.
Oh, but the right hand from Ripley. Martinez brought back into the ring.
Mercedes Martinez.
But not for long.
Ripley's collarbone and shoulder crashing to the steel ring post.
Martinez eyeing Ripley, misses with the kick. Ripley has Martinez.
No!
Bomb! Power bomb by Ripley!
As we still have a match going on, Ali and Blackheart are legal.
Blackheart with that top rope senton. The cover, the back press. Blackheart and Ripley win.
Yay. I really need Rhea Ripley to change her hair color back to the brown. Or give Toni Storm her gimmick back.
This hair, it's not. It's like you're too pale for this hair. I hate it. This is just doesn't work. Even if it was just like a tone darker, just like a scotch. Just like a little teeny bit darker. It's too... No. I hate it. But her gear choice is a plus.
Right. So yeah, the new gear multicolored pockets. Yeah.
I'm like, I enjoy the gear. The hair? No. You and Kyle O'Reilly did something. I don't know what you did, but his hair still mismatched with his beard, and I don't like it. We talked about this last week, Kyle O'Reilly. Change it back. I hate it.
Mr. Samuel Colon.
But the match is really good.
Are you still with us over there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Your thoughts on Miss Mercedes Martinez getting her long-awaited chance at the big time here?
Oh, she's amazing. It's awesome. Unfortunately, though, it's kind of happening a bit too late, though. I mean, in my opinion. I mean, she's the same age as me. It's like me going out there.
You can do it.
Yeah.
Never too late to learn.
I mean, it's great. It's like it's another WWE thing. Like, they're getting all these people when they're already, like, past their prime, you know. Well, not past their prime, but when they're already, like, in their mid to late
30s. Right.
Well, like, this should have happened, like, in the early 2000s.
I think that she's probably going to transition into, like, a coach or something. For
instance. Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's maybe what they
She's going to go the old Serena Deeb
way. Yeah, I think that's what they're going to kind of have in mind for her.
Oh, I want to see her and Rhea just go one-on-one. Just beat the shit out of each other. Yeah. And, like, also her and Nia and her and Bianca. Just two big girls. Just beat each other up. I want to see it. Make it happen. I don't care how. Just want to see it.
Her and Zelina need to get that fashion back together that they had in, Shine.
Oh.
Yeah, they had their own, like, Latina women faction. It was pretty sick.
Oh, that's cool.
With the Evil Bees.
Oh, yeah, she could join Garza now. And Andrade.
Yeah, there you go.
Fuck Robert Stone. He's not messy anymore, so I can't talk with it.
I can't take Robert Stone serious just because he's Robbie E. He's Robbie E from TNA. I mean, come on.
Oh. Is that where he's from?
Yeah, he was basically like Jersey Shore in TNA. That was a gimmick.
We have a video package to preview and remind us of what's been going down between Keith Lee and Karrion Kross. From, you know, Keith Lee breaking that hourglass while he was getting ready to challenge for the NXT title against Adam Cole, to, you know, Karrion Kross beating up Donovan Dijakovic, and we having like a Rocky IV moment with Keith Lee and Dijakovic in the ring holding his head after Karrion Kross abused him. To you know, Scarlett and her sorcery with that fireball last week.
Firebender.
I'm really excited for Karrion Kross's entrance because hopefully it'll be all Scarlett and just a little bit of him.
Yep.
But I am so much enthralled with Scarlett Bordeaux and everything she does.
Literally everybody is.
So Donna, at what point is she going to powerbomb Karrion Kross?
I don't know.
Freaking firebend him through a window or something.
But last week, when they started the show off, and she just the first thing you see on the screen, I was like, oh, yes, this is exactly what I'm here for.
Man, you're all y'all late to the party, like, by ages.
Listen, I know who she was before.
I've been talking about her since, like, way back in the day.
Hey man, it don't matter when I get to the party, as long as the music's still playing, I'm good.
Right. I'm here. They're still chipped. So
Our main event is our final NXT North American qualifying match as Finn Balor is taking on the returning Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
Cameron Grimes comes down to the ring to take a perch and get a closer view of this match. So he is like, out, they have these ladders set up with the North American title suspended on the outside. So Cameron Grimes gets up on the ladder. He takes the belt off of the ring and he's just holding it, doing his own version of commentary.
He was over there doing like the dog from Duck Hunt. Remember the game Duck Hunt?
Right.
He was a little dog and it's just like giggling at you.
Yeah, so he's doing his own version of commentary, interacting with Finn Balor and Velveteen Dream. Well, Finn begins, he changes his attention to Cameron Grimes on the outside, and he takes a superplex for his troubles. Johnny Gargano shows up. He knocks the ladder over that Cameron Grimes was on. He sends him into the ring, and Cameron Grimes like gets knocked over the top rope into the ring, right into the referee. So the referee takes a huge bump, and he's down. So Finn Balor and Velveteen Dream take turns knocking Cameron Grimes around before they collide. Gargano has the title, and he scatters from the arrival of Bronson Reed. Inside, Johnny Gargano bumps into Damian Priest. Johnny tries to hit Damian Priest with the North American title, but is dumped out by both Bronson Reed and Damian Priest. Damian Priest takes out Bronson Reed, and then Velveteen Dream knocks both of them out of the ring before Finn takes them out with the Tope Con Hilo. Well, while Finn is on the outside, Timothy Thatcher comes down. He basically abuses Finn on the outside, sends him back into the ring for the Dream Valley Driver, followed by the Purple Rainmaker, and the Velveteen Dream gets the win, and he is our fifth and final participant in the ladder match for the North American title. Johnny Gargano interrupts the celebration by taking out Velveteen Dream and picking up the title, only for Cameron Grimes to super kick Gargano. Damian Priest attacks Gargano. Bronson Reed takes Priest and the Velveteen Dream out, and Bronson Reed stands tall with the North American title to close.
Because he's going to win.
Now, we really didn't get into it last week, but we'll get into it now. A lot of people have a real sour taste about Velveteen Dream, and due to the accusations and how everything was handled, and WWE is like, oh, business as usual, Velveteen Dream, come on down, be a part of this match.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm people. I have that. I'm like,
Have you heard the nickname? Someone calls him Creepatine Dream.
Yep. Because it's true. Someone, like, when he had the, like, he was like talking to the camera, somebody captioned it was like, what school do you go to? I was just like, ah, shit. Yep.
Well, it's like kind of weird, especially with the character he's doing now. He's kind of like an asshole.
Right.
Yeah.
And it kind of like, it's okay to me, it's kind of like the R. Kelly thing where like R. Kelly was doing what he was doing, but then he was still making these like slow dance sexy songs or whatever. And it's just like, so it just makes you feel so filthy. It's the same thing here.
Yeah. At all. No, I don't like it. When he came back, I was just like, why?
It's been a very difficult 2020 for everybody, but especially Velveteen Dream, man. You can't tell me that all of this that Keith Lee has experienced in the last 3 or 4 months wasn't set up for him coming in 2020.
Yep.
And then he got the back injury. That took him out. Then he kind of came back. He was really lackluster in the feud with Roddy that led to the match with Adam Cole. He took the L against Adam Cole because things were swirling. So once the the hashtag came out, speaking out hashtag came out throughout the wrestling industry, you know, he got swept up in that. So they hurried up and like tucked them away. They didn't fire him like they did Jack Gallagher and Jordan Devlin and a couple of other people who kind of got a, you know, didn't get the same pass that Velveteen.
Well, like, well, like think of it this way though, like these were guys that they weren't pushing, like Jack Gallagher, like it's easy to just sweep him, like just get rid of him.
Jordan Devlin was your cruiserweight champion though.
Yeah, but like, were like, wasn't he like not around like at all?
Well, first it was the pandemic, but then once he got caught up in that, they were like, okay, you already can't be here because you can't travel. So now we just going to release you because, you know, your name is all out here. Mm-hmm. But somebody, Triple H, in a very high spot, Triple H, has a lot of faith and cachet for Velveteen Dream. So he needs to make the most of this opportunity and just fly as straight as he can. He needs to stay away from all electronic communicating devices and, you know, just go wrestle and don't do anything else extracurricular because he is on the thinnest of ice, I think, right now.
Oh, no, I already heard it like right after the match, right after the show aired, there was something else came out about him.
Yeah, there were like tweets where somebody was just like, y'all said you investigated. Well, here's tweet. Here's DM. It's just like, ooh, it's too late for me already. I was just like, no, thank you, sir. I don't want this. Yeah. Go on it.
Why does he keep communicating with people, knowing you a hot boy?
There's just some people who just can't help themselves.
Okay, what's the dude? The Wiener guy, Anthony Wiener. Okay, he's Anthony Wiener.
Not only did he get, not only did that happen once, it happened twice to him.
Right.
Like,
it's just So a lot of people are just not feeling the direction that WWE is going with Velveteen Dream. They would really rather see him, you know, down on the card, have to, you know, kind of earn his way back into this spot. But nope, they like, hey, you good to go. Yeah. We're going to put you back on TV. We're going to put you right in the middle of this takeover match.
Yeah, I'd rather not see him on my television. I'm like, nope, you and your weird grinding and this blonde goatee you got going on. And I don't,
I will say this, though. When he had Finn in the corner and he was hitting him with the punches.
Yeah.
And he looked out and he screamed out in the crowd, where's my count though? I did have to chuckle.
Yeah. Like, he's really talented. However, comma, nope.
Yeah, highly questionable antics that he's been engaged into has definitely knocked the bloom off of his rose. I mean, he was definitely, if you rewind to exactly 1 year ago, everybody was like, they need to put the belts on Velveteen Dream. What are they doing?
Yep.
Now it's like, they need to not have Velveteen Dream on TV anywhere.
Yep.
Oh, that is a complete 180.
Well, that's what happens when you solicit minors, you gross man.
It's like, yeah, so that was NXT. This show went by really fast. I don't know.
I guess because
me and you, Miss Simi, it's been a while since we actually watched like NXT like live as it was airing.
Right.
Wasn't at like, you know, 10 o'clock, 10:30 where I'm kind of like doing a bobblehead trying to keep my eyes open. But this show, I looked up and it was like, man, it's 9:35. We're getting ready to go to the main event. Okay.
Plus, it was just like a really fun show. Like that Adam Cole, Pat McAfee, like promo thing was really good. And then like you had like the high speed with like Breezango and Swerve and Legado. So that was really fun. So it was like a good packed show. So I enjoyed it. It was just that last match. I was just like, what the hell are they doing with Finn? Like, what is this? You brought him back to NXT. You got my hopes up because he was all black, talking shit and kicking people in the face, and I was really excited. And then every time he's just like, nope.
It might be punishment for really injuring Johnny Gargano.
Listen, all right, get over it. Sorry, he's fine. he's walking. He can see. He ain't got no concussion. He just got hurt again. And he's fine. Yeah, I hate it. What are you doing? Because it's like you're doing the same thing to him that was happening on the main roster. Like, he puts on great matches. He, like, makes other people look good. He's good at shit-talking. He gets you really hyped. And then, like, you just keep fucking with his momentum. Stop playing my man.
Now Stop he's going to be spun off against Timothy Thatcher. That should be very interesting and fun and exciting. But, yeah. He needs
to Timothy is going to hurt him.
A little Thatcher's Thatch can.
Yeah.
Thatcher don't got respect for joints. He's going to hurt him.
He's over there doing the old Stu Hart, I'll stretch you.
That's
right. I'll stretch you, gimmick.
He's out here just recruiting people so he can hurt them.
That's basically Stu Hart. That's what he would do.
While I have both of you on the line, we'll dip into a little bit of SummerSlam talk. Leading up
in the Thunderdome.
Yeah, leading up to that. As of today, they were taping SmackDown, so some pictures.
I thought it was gonna be live. What happened to that?
I don't know either, but some.
You know what? I saw those pictures too. I think they were just
renders.
Practicing. I think they were just. They might have been fake, but I'm just saying they might have been just like playing around with it, setting it up.
Right.
Like, you know, some of those images were like duplicated. Many times.
Mm-hmm. Right. Didn't it look like Jey Uso was wrestling somebody? And one of the ones I saw.
Somebody brown.
Somebody brown.
But yeah, the pictures that came out of the renderings or whatever that was they put out on Twitter today is just like, you know, kind of like if you've been
watching not look good.
NBA playoffs, it's just a video wall of fans watching the matches through Zoom calls. And I guess they're going to try to pipe the sounds in to keep them, you know, as live and in color as possible.
I was telling Semi that, like, they should open SmackDown with that Tina Turner Thunderdome song.
Oh, yeah.
You should.
Yeah, we don't need another hero.
All I'm thinking about is a California Love video with Tupac. Oh, no. That's all I'm thinking about right now.
I don't know why they would name it the Thunderdome, though. Like, why does it need a gimmick itself? It's just the Amway Arena with a virtual crowd and some.
So they're over stealing Bill Watts' gimmick. Didn't he have a Thunderdome?
Yeah, that was a match with Terry Funk, Flair, Sting, and Muda, I think.
Wait, is that the one where the cage? Is that the one where the cage caught on fire?
Yeah.
Oh my god! And then Muda had to put it out with his mist.
Sure did.
Like Semi, you should have seen it. It was so funny. They couldn't put the cage out, so Muda spit on it.
You can't have five pairs of standby. You got to prepare for these things.
Hey, it was the 80s. Come on.
But getting back to SummerSlam, we'll just kind of run through these matches, and I'll ask you guys what you're looking forward to. We got Apollo Crews and MVP United States Championship match, Street Profits versus Angel Garza and Andrade Raw Tag Team Championship match, Dominic Guerrero versus Seth Rollins in a street fight.
Is it true, Dad? Is it true?
Sonya Deville versus Mandy Rose in the Bruce Prichard special hair versus hair match. Sasha Banks versus Asuka Raw Women's Championship match. Bayley versus Asuka in the SmackDown Women's Championship match. Bray or The Fiend versus Braun Strowman for the Universal title. And Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton for the WWE Championship. So, Miss Simi, I'll start with you. What are you looking forward to this year's SummerSlam?
Obviously, Sasha Bailey, Asuka. That's a given. Asuka going to be pulling double duty. Let's see what she walks out with. So I'm excited about that. The Montez Ford and Dawkins one versus Angel Garza and Street Profits. Jesus, why couldn't I remember their names? Street Profits and do Angel Garza and Andrade have a name?
No.
We were calling him the LIO Los Ingobernables de Orlando.
So looking forward to that. And what else? And that's it. I'm not really excited about the Fiend and Braun, whatever, because Braun's title reign has been so lackluster to me. Like, his only, like, good memorable feud was against Roman Reigns. Like, he's just uninteresting as a champion.
On him?
Listen,
he
just
keep doing things with Roman. That was so funny.
Yeah, it was funny. So, that was the only good thing. Oh, I'm excited for Dominik and Seth. I want to see that. That looks fun.
Sammy Kalunga, same question, man. What are you looking forward to on SummerSlam this year?
I'm just right now, I'm just glad that Joseph Park is in WWE.
I didn't know that Joseph Park looked so much like Jim Ross until last week.
Who's Joseph Park?
Did you see SmackDown?
She's too young last week. She's too young.
Okay, so
no.
AJ Styles comes out and he has this new, like,
that guy.
Yeah.
The statistician.
Yeah, the statistician for the phenomenal whatever the piss. Yeah.
Oh,
piss.
Is that why, like, Impact, like, tweeted, like, something about Abyss or whatever the fuck?
Right.
More than likely, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, like a few years before he left, he was playing this character called Joseph Park. He was supposed to be his own brother because Abyss went missing, but then Joseph Park comes out.
Oh, God.
And then, like, Joseph Park, he was like a lawyer, and he would have these matches. Of course, he'd get his ass whooped because he's. But then, like, out of nowhere, he would just, like, see. Whenever he would bleed, whenever they make him bleed, he would flash and he would basically turn into Abyss and just destroy the other person.
Wow.
It's kind of like what they're doing. It's kind of like what they're doing now with Susie and Sue Young. Because, like, Susie is like this little kid character.
You're the only person
secretly
on this call who watches TNA, sir. So you're gonna have to fill this
in. Yeah.
Okay, so Sue Young. You know, you've heard of Sue Young, the undead princess.
Yes.
So yeah, she's like she's a woman who does hardcore blood matches or whatever.
Okay.
So now she's playing a character in Impact called Susie, which is like a little girl. She's basically like Bailey, except she's not all she's dressed like a little porcelain doll, basically.
Oh, okay.
And she always gets her butt whooped.
Oh.
And she's just like really naive as like a child. Like, I think like Rosemary was like doing like some stuff to her or whatever. And then Susie goes, "No, that's bad." And she does like the sign of the cross. But she's like a little kid.
Uh-huh.
But like when she gets whooped and reamed and everything, she flashes into the character of Sue Young, who is evil.
How are they treating my boo Kira Hogan over there these days?
I have not seen her on TV in like a month.
Oh, really?
She was tag teaming with Sasha Steeles and then she just disappeared.
Yeah, I like little Sasha Steeles, man. I liked her when she was in NWA. She's got a lot of little spunk to her. I thought that maybe if the NWA thing wasn't gonna like be a significant thing, I thought that maybe NXT would try to snatch her up and hide her away because she's got a lot of talent. She's really young too.
Yeah, I won't be surprised if AEW grabs her.
Yeah, definitely would.
They don't know how to use the women they got now, so
right.
Yeah, we'll talk about that too. WWE is definitely listening to Miss Simi and all the AEW women fans because they've been flooding ATV with women.
Hell yeah. They're just like, you miss them? They're like, here's a lady, there's a lady, that's a lady, there's a lady.
Wait, so Brandy isn't enough for you, Simi? Like,
listen, her and her $49 freaking no, girl. No. Although you've gotten better at wrestling.
Oh, she trained with a friend of mine and friend said she was horrible. Oh. No, when she was trying to like wrestle like when she first left WWE.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And a friend of mine a friend of mine was basically like her sparring partner as she was being trained. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my friend said she was awful.
I mean, she's gotten better. So, but like, I don't know if you didn't see it. The AEW, like the women's tag team tournament.
No, I heard it was pretty bad.
Like her and Ali are the worst team there. They're not bad. but it's just like, you shouldn't be in these finals. Like, really, it should be Diamante and Ivelisse who are in the finals, and like either Swole, Big Swole and Low Swole, or like Anna Jay and Tatiana. What's that girl's name? The Brazilian one.
Yeah, Tiara Conti.
Tatiana Ali?
Yeah, her.
Tiara Conti from NXT.
Tiara Conti. Yeah. Like, they're actually really, really good. I hope they continue as a team, but it shouldn't be like Brandy and what's her face? Brandy and Ali. Because, like, their weird character thing kind of changed. Like, at first, it was like Ali kind of being like the gold digger one, trying to get into like the Rhodes family. And now it's switched to like Brandy's like obsessed with her doll that she calls Little Brand Brand or some shit. And I'm like, what the hell is going on
in that company?
It sounds ridiculous. It's dumb. And usually I'm fine with a little dumb because it's funny. But this, I was just like, this is it. I am
impressed with Anna Jay, but for other reasons.
She's also a good wrestler.
Is she really? I've never seen
her. She really is.
Cast.
I just saw her against Abaddon, and she got railroaded. So.
Yeah, she did. Ooh, but that lady is a demon. Her eyeball was hanging out. I would fall too. I'd be like, "Yep, it's over. Match is over. You ain't got no eye. It's dangling out your socket. I don't like it."
Oh, so she's Rey Mysterio.
No. Poor Rey. He ain't got no eye. That was gross.
I'm highly disturbed that they had Ivelisse come out there do a job and we haven't seen her do nothing else except for the YouTube matches. It's like, why isn't she back on TV?
Right. She should be. Because her and Diamante are freaking awesome together. They are amazing together. They're so good as a tag team. And if AEW freaking cared about the women division like they lied that they do, they would push them.
Oh, well, they're liars,
and they don't care.
You can blame Kenny Olivier for that.
Oh, no. He said it's not him. He don't pass the buck. Everybody's passing the buck about how it's not their fault. And I'm like, I'm blaming somebody. Somebody gonna get the smoke.
Brandy caught so much smoke, she had to get off of Twitter. But she also had some racist.
Oh, I heard she deleted her Twitter.
Yeah.
She back, though.
Yeah. Of course she is.
It was hot in the streets for like 4 days, though.
Yeah, though, like, the internet turned on her really, really quickly.
Because she said some dumb shit. It's like, are you stupid?
Are you a member of Heels?
No. No. I can talk about wrestling for free $3.99 everywhere I go. I'm not paying you $49.
I bet most of the people on there aren't even actual women. They're like dudes who are just like, oh yeah, I like
exactly. It's freaking creepy dudes that are like, I wanna know. Get out of here. I hate it.
Yeah, like what they were saying was basically just Twitter. Like, it's like a platform where people can talk about whatever.
Right. It's like, no, thank you. I shouldn't have to pay $49 to have a safe space. Just put the women on TV like you told me you were gonna.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you're having a women's tag team tournament. Then for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you've been leading up to this FTR Tag Team Appreciation Night. How about just maybe one of those tournament matches wind up on your tag team appreciation? It's not asking for much.
Nope, not a lot. Not asking for too much, just, effort. Can you give me effort?
But we got a 12-man tag team match or whatever that thing was, though.
Yep. You got grumpy old men fighting in the ring trying to freaking give each other fucking spine busters and shit, but you can't give me some women fighting in the ring? Okay, dude. You saw freaking SmackDown have like a damn women's battle royale where Bianca turned it the fuck out.
Okay. How impressed were you with Ricky Morton taking that spike? Did you see that, Sam? Taking that spike powder from FTR?
I, didn't even know that they were. Oh, no, I heard about. I heard that they appeared. I didn't.
Yeah. So what they did was FDR is in the ring with Tully and Arn and the Young Bucks and Rock and Roll Express, and so they're having just a mutual admiration society back and forth. Young Bucks talking about how good Rock and Roll Express is. FDR talking about how good Tully and Arn are. Tully is talking about how good. I mean, Arn is talking about how good the Young Bucks were. Talking about how good FTR is now. Tully gets on the mic and is like, man, look here. Ain't none of y'all got no belts, so ain't none of y'all worth a damn.
Yeah, that sounds like Tully, all right.
And he's like, Arn, he's got the like Cody little insignia on his sweater. He's like, I don't know what this is about, but you know, I got business with you for interfering in the match with Sean Spears and Cody. But he jerked the mic from Ricky Morton to say that. So after he gets to addressing Arn, Ricky Morton tries to jerk the mic back from him, and they start scuffling a little bit. Well, Tully gets out of the ring or whatever. Arn leaves first, then Tully gets out of the ring. So FDR, Rock and Roll Express are like, you know, looking over the out with their back turned to FTR, and FTR jumps them from behind. They throw Ricky Robert Gibson out of the ring, and then they give. They give Ricky Morton the spike power driver, Brainbuster style, and Ricky Morton takes it like RVD with the bounce up.
Yeah.
Like Ricky Morton, you're 61 years old. What are you doing?
Hey, they were NWA tag champs recently, so.
Yeah. Well, shoot, Ricky Morton earlier in the Dynamite appeared and did a suicide dive, so.
Right. Yeah. It was just like, why are you doing this, sir? No. We believe you. You're great. I believe you. I know. You don't have to do this. You don't. Please, don't do it. I beg you.
But yeah, man, Tully Blanchard made that whole segment. Because before it was just like, man, they're just going to stand in the ring and just kiss each other and trade, you know, flower and stuff. And then like Tully turned that thing up.
She was like, you ain't got no belt. Why you praising each other for? I was like, oops. I was like, well.
Before we turn it over for shout outs and thank yous, just want to remind everybody that you can join us this Sunday by using the hashtag Summer of Slams to share your commentary with color on SummerSlam starting at 7 p.m. Also, if you tune in to the pre-show at 6, use the hashtag Say No to Pre-Shows to share your commentary with color. Shout out to Miss Didi Jonet.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of Didi, the other day, I was watching Impact and TJP was on the screen and I was just like, I wonder if his gimmick is that he likes to play video games.
Oh God. Why was that his gimmick?
Because like, that's his real life?
Yeah.
But like I'm like, that's your personality? You just like to play video games? You know, that's it?
It's weird they say that he's from the Philippines. I'm like, wait, he's from all the islands?
He's from every continent in Africa. Shout out to Raven.
So, Mr. Sammy Colunga, at this time, sir, we're going to turn it over to you for your shout outs and thank yous.
I just have to say something real quick. Is Johnny Gargano the new Kota Ibushi?
Meaning. Close like but no cigar?
No. Dang. No, the I don't care about my neck.
Oh. That's only when he wrestles Naito, though. Any other time, he's super cautious.
I saw like the old No Limit Pen and Pixel covers?
Right.
I saw one of those with Kota Ibushi, you know, all pimped out and everything. And like the name of his album was Fuck My Neck.
Oh.
God.
Oh, no.
Let's see, shout out to you guys, of course. Thanks for having me on. Let's see, shout out to everybody in the WrestleCast community. Shout out to Mo for holding it down on the Rawcast. Shout out to Quan. Shout out to Classic. Shout out to Didi, and shout out to the Glow as well.
All right. Thank you for coming on this evening, Sam. It's good to reconnect with you, Miss Simi. Your shout outs and thank yous, ma'am.
Well, shout out to Samuel, of course, for joining us. Shout out to you, Don. Shout out to Mo and Quan and Dee Dee and the WrestleCast family. Shout out to Selling Sunset for keeping me entertained with their white women drama. Appreciate it.
I'd like to thank Miss Simi for joining me once again. Sam for joining us as a special guest. Shout out to Greg and the baby and his family. Hopefully they're doing well. Shout out to Miss Dee Jeanne. Shout out to Jay to the Max for helping me over on SmackDown Matters. We've been getting that thing restarted back up. Shout out to the guys over at The Push. Shaolin Shogun, M.A. Sean. He joined me and Mota the underscore Reese on this past Monday to review Monday Night Raw and preview SummerSlam, so check that podcast out if y'all haven't listened to the Rawcast yet. Shout out to all the members of the GLOW, all the WrestleBays, everybody who turns up into the NXT cast, Dynamite cast, Rawcast, SmackDown Matters. Check out the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media. Become a patron and you can hear me and Miss Simi share our commentary with color each and every week on AEW Dynamite. Plus, you'll get to hear pre- and post-show conversations from all of the shows that we record here on the WrestleCast. Hear some candid conversations about wrestling and sometimes about other things in wrestling. Give a big shout-out to everybody who listens to the CSPN, everybody who, you know, just continues to spread the word, spread the love for the WrestleCast. We greatly appreciate it. To all the new people who have found the live tweets here in the last couple of weeks and months, we greatly appreciate you adding your commentary with color. Keep it up. We'll definitely be looking forward to retweeting and shouting you guys out. We definitely appreciate all the love each and every Friday that people add us to those big lists of all the other great wrestling podcasts of color. I'm glad to be included, and hopefully, you know, everybody is being safe and can interact and uplift each other and, make our voices heard. Because we are the demographic that could put one of these shows over the top. They just haven't decided to go that route yet. But whichever one does first, definitely be the clear winner in the ratings war. So AEW, WWE, you know, include your women, include your minority talent, and you'll gain the fans that you're looking for to gain the edge. But we'll see who listens and who lets it fall by the wayside. So for our guest, Samuel Colunga, my co-host, Miss Simi, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and this has been the NXT cast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Well, hello, Undisputed Era. Last week, Adam, you said, please, please come see me face to face. Come back to the arena that I was kicked out of. I'm here. And I brought 28 years of NFL experience with me because I knew you better than you know yourself. I know that you go nowhere without these three stooges. I know that you would be nothing without these three stooges. And I know that you could never handle a face-to-face with a human like moi all by yourself. Do you remember what happened 2 weeks ago when you and I were in this same NXT arena, Adam Cole? You probably don't. This is how it ended. I'll remind you. Shawn Michaels was checking for vitals on your soulless body right over yonder next to stupid Tom Phillips. Last week, you go on this entire rant about how you were being held back, that I took advantage of a situation, blah, blah, blah. I outsmarted you in your own house. In your own business, I outsmarted you. Then you went on an entire, you suck. Then you went on an entire rant about how I'm not special. Not special. You're the longest reigning NXT champ. You've wrestled all around this globe. You've wrestled in front of 5 people at armories, bingo halls, high schools, Japan, all over the world. And you got to hear and you were the biggest star in this brand. What'd you call yourself? The king of NXT? You had all these people fooled. 400 and some days you were undefeated. Took me a minute and a half to knock your ass out. 1 minute to knock your ass out. One swing of this foot. it's going to end the same exact way that it ended 2 weeks ago. You're going to be left unconscious after probably throwing a temper tantrum, after losing your mind, after losing your cool, because you and I are different level humans. You only gave me 2 weeks to train for this match. 2 weeks! Triple H gets on ESPN, the cerebral assassin who kicked me out, who says, well, Pat wants to be tough, I can make you famous. 2 weeks is all I'm going to need to beat you. And you're going to have to explain to the entire wrestling community how you lost to an outsider. Let me tell you how you lost to an outsider. Because you're great. In this world, you are. But I am next level.
This Saturday at TakeOver, I'm gonna make you my